Right, there we have it. Pots. We're going to be talking about pots this morning. Okay. So, we're picking up from the chapter in Deuteronomy 8. Where, if we read that chapter, and it talks about the ups and downs in life and the journey that God takes us through and how he was always there for them in the wilderness journey. He was mending their clothes. He was feeding them. He was behind the scenes there for them in a way that they didn't even realize. And what I found interesting about that chapter is it wasn't the tough times that God was worried about with them. He was worried about the good times. When the good times come and you're settled into the land and you're doing okay and you're not on the journey anymore, don't forget me. Don't forget the experiences that you've had in the wilderness. Don't forget what you've gone through. It wasn't the good times that God's worried about. It's not the ups in life. It's not the downs in life that we have that God's concerned about. He's more concerned about the ups because it's more easy for us to forget God when life's good and when things are going well. And so that made me think of manna. It was when the manna wasn't happening in their lives anymore that God was concerned that they might turn and forget him. And it made me thought about manna and what manna meant to them and what manna can mean to us. And it's that daily aspect, that daily relationship that they had with God. They went out in the morning, it said, before the heat of the day burnt them. And it struck me that it's our relationship with the bread of heaven is manna. It's our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our relationship with God, with the Word of God. Man does not live by bread alone. Man does not live by the day-to-day work that we do alone. It's an interesting... God knows that we have to do that. But man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that's not just the Bible. That's much broader than just the scriptures. It's every instruction that God gives to his angels looking after us. It's every interaction that God has with us. That is the word of God. And we live by that. The Lord Jesus lived by that. The Lord Jesus lived by his relationship with God. And so manna strikes me as being our daily relationship with God. And they had to go out in the morning before, as I said, the heat of the day, before the office opens up, before the trials of the day burn upon them, was to go out and gather this manna and have this relationship with God early in the morning. And I know some may think, well, I'm not a morning person, but my exhortation to you is you're missing out if you miss out on your meditation with God first thing in the morning. Because that's when God talks to us and prepares us for what's coming ahead in the day. It's our daily prayer and meditation time. It had to be collected before the heat of the day, and it was collected in pots. Okay. So I'm using pots as an acronym for structuring our prayer and meditation. There's a beautiful thing that crops up in that chapter about manna, in that it said that, you know, you're hitting hard times, you're hitting problems, you didn't know how to handle something, and then God provided this manna for you, something which you nor your fathers had ever known of. And I think that's so often what happens in prayer, is we're battling in prayer, we may be worried about something, we think, oh, how does this... And we, in doing that, we try and work out how God's going to answer the prayer. We try and work out the solution. You know, if God could just do this, or if just this could happen, then... But the whole point of manna was they didn't have a cooking clue about it before it arrived. It was an answer to prayer that they didn't know anything about. And that's so often how God answers our prayers. It's something sidelines you and you think, wow, God's answered my prayer in a way that I didn't even consider that was how he was going to answer my prayer. And that's what makes then the relationship with God and with the Lord Jesus so special and so awesome, because you know it wasn't you making up the answer. And almost God, I think, does that on purpose. Manna is something we don't know about, nor our fathers knew about it. It's an answer to prayer, and prayers get answered by ways in which we never even thought or considered that's how it's going to happen. But my problem with the meditation, okay, so you sit down and you start this meditation. And meditation without structure goes something like this. And there was a lovely brother, Dennis Gillett, in the UK, who I had the privilege of being in the same ecclesia as him. And he always had a lovely phrase that said, "I cling tenaciously to the belief that I am normal." I cling tenaciously to that quote. I find meditation without structure goes something like this. Dear Father in heaven and Lord Jesus, let's talk again about me and about my problems and about my issues. Please help me and guide me. Amen. Okay. And I thought, oh, you know, that's not really what it's all about, is it? So I felt that I needed a better structure to sort of stop going into that habit. And so this word pots then came to mind, because they collected the manna in pots. And so the P stands for praise. Okay, let's start our meditation by thinking about God and how big God is and how awesome God is. And what I've been trying this out for a few months. In fact, it was a New Year's resolution. So, and it's still going, not every day, I have to say, but I do try and keep it going as much as I can. Is to have a verse that's really resonated with me, and to put that down and think about God and think about the Lord Jesus Christ and just think about them. I mean, there's lovely verses like, I mean, this one I'll read out from Ephesians, where Paul says, "My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father, who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all Christians the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb its depths, rise to its heights, live full lives full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams as the manna. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us." So this praise is just thinking positively about God and about the Lord Jesus Christ and thinking how big he is. There was an incident I had a few years back where, I don't know if any of you, suddenly you get this letter and there was something wrong, but suddenly I was owing this enormous amount of money in tax. And it just happened at a time when it was a really inappropriate time to receive that letter, because there was lots of other things going wrong. And I just wrote to my accountant and I said, you know, what's happening, help? And she wrote back, and at the bottom of her email, there was this phrase, and it said, "Don't tell God how big your storm is. Tell your storm how big your God is." And I thought, right, I'm telling the tax man how big my God is. And it got sorted out. I didn't have to pay it. It was a mistake. But what does last with me was that email, little thing at the bottom. She didn't know. how much that would mean to me at that moment. So praise is all about thinking how big God is and setting that in our minds first. And then we move on to the O. And the O stands for what we did first thing this morning, others, praying for others. And that's really positive in terms of personally, because when you start praying for others, you sort of think, oh, glad I haven't got their problem. glad I'm not ill, or you know, you start putting your own problems in the context of other people's, and they seem to be eased up quite a bit. And so you often may have the same names every day that I write them down in this thing, and it gets posted off to the cloud. So you write them down every day, and also to put into mind to say, Lord, tell me who I should pray for. And sometimes the weirdest names have popped into my head, and you think, okay, I'll pray for them. I don't know whether they needed my prayers, but you know, people from the past in life, and just pray for them because they came into mind. The other lovely thing about that is, because you know, when you meet someone at the ecclesia each week, and you know, they may be going through a hard time, and you say, "Oh no, I've been praying for you," and in reality, you haven't given them a moment's thought since the last time you saw them. Well, when you write it down every day, you know you have actually prayed for them, and you can be confident that when you say, "No, I prayed for you," yes, you're not making it up. Cling tenaciously to the belief I am normal here. So that's lovely that you know that you are praying for someone. So that's the O for the others, thinking positively about others. And interestingly enough, I think that's really important, because our spiritual walk is not an individual thing. Our spiritual walk is a group thing. When Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer, it wasn't "give me my daily bread." It was "give us our daily bread." So it's all about us. It's all about us walking together and looking after each other. It isn't an individual thing. And then we move to the T. And the T stands for thanksgiving. Giving thanks. So thinking positively about life and thinking positively about something God has done for you. And interestingly, I read an article by a chap that was in New York or somewhere over that area, who's done a lot of research into this area, and he's tested people's brains and all that sort of thing. And he found, it's a TED talk I could probably give you the reference. He found that after 21 days, if you give thanks for something consistently for 21 days, after 21 days, your brain is different. It has a very positive impact on your mental well-being. And so I just found that fascinating, in the line with, you know, the instructions that we have in Scripture to give thanks to God, that just to look at something that happened yesterday and give thanks for what happened. And then the last S is finally self. Because God does want to know about our individual concerns and problems. God does want to have a very personal and individual relationship with us. And that self may be confession. It may be asking for forgiveness over something. It may be asking for guidance. It may be asking for assistance, or whatever it might be. It's putting forward every detail of our lives before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, and asking them to be involved in them and to be working with them. And so I found that this has now sort of restructured my meditation and just made it so much more valuable to me that I hate missing it, because it's become such a valuable exercise in my life. And interestingly enough, I had an incident yesterday morning, where I'd typed a verse that had meant something to me from the previous day. And then the reason why I'm over here is for encouraging or to promote free Wi-Fi to the poor in Africa, because I think it will do amazing things to uplift those that want to use it for upliftment. And I got one of those emails that are so negative, and people saying, from back in South Africa, people telling me it won't work, and one of those emails. And I would, first of all, sort of wanted to reply to it, and then I thought, no, do the Christ-like thing, just hold your tongue. Yeah. And then I was just typing, let's talk about this when I get back. And as I was saying let's, I don't know, something weird slipped as I was typing on my iPad, and the verse from yesterday suddenly appeared in the email. And the verse said, these people are nothing but grass. Their love fragile as wildflowers. The grass withers, the wildflowers fade, if God so much as puffs on them. Aren't these people just so much grass? True, the grass withers, the wildflowers fade. But our God's word stands firm forever. When I saw that in the context of the email, I thought, wow. And I decided not to send the email and not even to respond to it. But it just strengthened me so much to think, well, if God is with us, then their little emails can't fight against God. If God so much puffs against them. And I know God is with us because helping the poor is something God wants to do. So in hindsight, I had an exercise of like looking through my meditations. And in hindsight, I found that my praise of God wasn't big enough. It wasn't big enough each day. Could have been more. It wasn't big enough. It could be always bigger and bigger, your praise of God. My prayers for others have taught me that they walk a far harder path than I do. And they need those prayers. And the path that they're traveling, they need our prayers. And praying for others is really important. I look back and I saw that the thanks that I gave has always been merited. Should have thanked more, should have thought of more things that I was thankful for. And finally, that the prayers about self, about myself, my concerns were always way, way bigger than they needed to be. And they seemed to get solved or seemed to get sorted out, seemed to get answered in ways I never even expected, nor my father would have expected them how to be just like the manna. And so I just wanted to share that with you. I hope it will be helpful to you in preparation as we now take the eternal manna into us, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who can live in us, can change us, can guide us, can take us through this pathway, can work in us, can do amazing things, immeasurably more than we imagine. And we have the privilege together to take him into us this morning. Amen.